We're so thankful that God has blessed us with another opportunity of worship. Our song leader has just done an outstanding job in choosing appropriate songs, but then the way that we've all joined in and we have sought to match his enthusiasm has truly been a blessing. Good to have all of you who are here, who are visiting with us. The Red Rose is our way of knowing that you are very special. And thank you for coming and being with us in our worship to God. We are on a wonderful theme, and we're talking about the prolific power of Jesus Christ as we attend the Master's class. And we're looking at his miracles, and from his miracles, it is our attempt to help us to understand the significance of those miracles for us who are now part of the church or the kingdom of God. And so I have enjoyed going in and studying, and sometimes I get happy while I'm studying, and I just really find it very, very meaningful and helpful just from the study. And so it is my desire to deliver what I have gained from the scripture in hopes that you too will be benefited as well. I've been asked to sing a song, and I don't know but one that I sing, and that is My God is Real. And so I'm going to attempt. It's been a long time since I have. And so, therefore, you all pray with me and help me. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, I cannot go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Oh yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Oh yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for requesting it. Amen. I want to ask that you turn with me to Luke chapter 8. And I want to begin at verse number 26. Luke chapter 8. Beginning at verse number 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadareans, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And I heard of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened, came to Jesus, and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadareans asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your house. Tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. I just want to call your attention to this subject, the healing of a demonic, the healing of a demonic. And I understand that this has so many stories and applications, but I will not have the time to deal with all of them and to share all that I have gleaned from my study. So I have selected a few that I want to share with you in hopes that the ones that I have selected will encourage you in your walk with the Lord. The first thing that I want us to learn from this miracle, and that is the power of evil and sin. We need to understand that evil is powerful and sin is powerful. The Bible says that Jesus, along with his disciples, had crossed over into the country of the Gadareans. Jesus, along with the disciples, have just come across the lake in a storm, and Jesus has calmed the storm. And they have asked the question, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" So when Jesus lands and he is walking away from the ship, immediately there meets him a man who has demons. Fierce. Man that has been with these demons for a long time. Driven from his home. Not able to stay in his home. No longer able to be in the community, but driven out into the tombs where the dead people live. He was so fierce that when they would chain him, he would break the chains. powerful. The demons inside of this man had total control over him. Demons, ladies and gentlemen, had taken this man away from his family, away from society, put him out in the wilderness. This is a picture of what evil and sin ultimately will do to any and every man. A lot of us don't want to believe it and accept it, but demons are real. Demons are real. Evil is prolific as well. You and I need to understand that none of us are so good that evil, if it had its way with us, would turn us away from home, put us all in the wilderness, make us all outside of ourselves. What I know about demons and evil is that many say that they are fallen angels. When Satan rebelled against God, not only was he turned out from heaven, but his angels with him. Many have associated these as being the demons that now work along with Satan in order to influence human beings. Those of us who were born into this world, these demons seek to destroy, amen, to control, and to make us totally misfits in society. Do not walk away from this miracle thinking that this is just some fairy tale. No. Even Paul would say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, in Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil himself has been called the prince of the air. You don't see these demons, but they see you. These demons are out to destroy us. They have taken inventory of us. They watch our habits. They watch our choices. Have you ever been on the internet and you ordered something, and then all of a sudden after you ordered it, you started getting all of this mail? I almost said fake mail, but I mean, you know, other mail from Simula. That's because they're tracking you. And they're watching. They're watching your pattern. And so based on your pattern of purchases and the way that you use the internet, they target you with certain ads because they know that's where your heart and mind is. The devil does the same thing. He watches us. He watches the way that we make choices. He watches our eyes. He watches where we go, and he's aware of that. And so the way that he gets at me is a different way that he gets at you. It's because it's tailor-made. But it's all designed to destroy every one of us, to destroy our home, destroy our lives, and destroy our families. Don't ever take it for granted. Sin is real as well. Now, sin, as it is associated with evil, works this way. God gives a command. God gives laws. And what sin is a transgression of God's law. That's what the Bible teaches us. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, if that's not it, you read all of 1 John and you'll get to it. The point that I'm making is that when a man transgresses the law of God, God gives a law, and then you go onward and beyond the law. In other words, you're not held in keeping with the law. So what the devil does is the devil knows what God has said, and so the devil and his demons, they seek an opportunity to cause you to transgress God's law. Well, how do you know, Brother Gibbs? Go back to the beginning. The devil came and asked Eve, yea, what has God said? Whether you all realize it or not, the devil is doing the same thing and the demons are doing the same thing to cause us to transgress God's law in order that you and I will not get the maximum benefit of this great life that God has given us. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Read the scripture. The scripture is right. We're all sold under sin. The Bible is right. We all have sinned, Romans 3:23. Romans 7:14, sold under sin. We can't do right if we wanted to do right enough. Listen to everything I said. We won't be able to do enough right for God to be able to accept us on our own. The devil will do all that he can to mar us and keep us in this condition. But then let me hasten with the story. Now that I've hopefully have gotten you to the point that you accept the fact that demons are in your house when you wake up in the morning. Actually, they slept in your house. Well, while you slept, they were in your house. They go to work with you. Amen. Amen. And since they know you like to eat, they make you see McDonald's. They make you see Whataburger. Amen. You may pass up McDonald's, but then they say Whataburger's coming up. Then, amen, amen, amen. And before you get home, they got you. They may not have gotten you at McDonald's, but they sure did get you at Jack in the Box. Amen. Well, I'm just trying to show you that they don't ease up off of you. They keep coming. They keep coming. Somebody say, you act like you know what you're talking about. I do. Amen, amen. And I just tell them, when I pass McDonald's, don't start no business with me when I get the Whataburger. I talk to the demons. Amen. Amen. I do. I talk to them. I tell them. I say, get behind me. Get behind me. I'm not stopping today. I'm going home. My wife has a good dinner fixed for me at home. Amen. Demons are something else. You know, you and your wife get into it, and then the demon tell you, say, I wouldn't take that from her. Amen. You tell that demon, say, hey, get behind me now. Don't work with me like that. Amen. I know better. Amen. Hey, girl, that girl been cooking too long for me to get all beside myself right now. See, you got to talk back to the demon. Am I right? Amen, amen. All right. Now that I got your attention. All right. I want you to look at this next point with me. And this is what really, I think, caught my attention and helped me to realize and appreciate Jesus more than I ever have. The study of this has caused me to appreciate him to the point that it almost brings tears to my eyes. And the reason is because I really never considered just how powerful he really is. Listen to the text. When he saw Jesus, now that's the demon. When the demon saw Jesus, the demon shouted out, fell down before him. Ask me. Why would a demon, a devil, when he sees Jesus, recognize that I need to worship him? So the point that I'm showing you is that even the devils know how powerful and understand that Jesus is God. Some some of us have difficulty believing that Jesus is God. Jesus in the flesh. The demons knew it. He may have been dressed in flesh, but they knew he was God in the flesh. They cried out to him. And watch this. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God Most High. So don't ever think that the demons don't know God. We are dealing in a spiritual realm that you and I don't see, but it is just as real as your hand in front of your face. God and demons, they see each other and they talk to each other. They recognize each other. God knows a demon when he sees it, and a demon knows God when he sees God. That demon cried out, said, "What have I to do with you?" You know why that demon did that? It's because Jesus had given the command, "Come out of the man." Come out of him. And the demon had to respond. Now you know what that teaches me? Is that the demons not only recognize Jesus, but they also know that Jesus has authority. Now let me show you the difference between authority and power. On a football field, the players have power. That's how they tackle. Throw the ball, catch the ball. But the only authority on the field is the umpire. The umpire calls the game. The umpire can throw you out of the game. Everybody on that field knows that the man in the stripes has the authority and the power. Devils may have power, but they don't have authority. Now you missed that. No devil has authority. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. I had it on earth and I got it now. I got all power. All the authority belongs to me. And when I walk up on the devil, he got to do what I tell him to do. Get out of the man. Get out of the man. Move. Move your residence." And since they knew he had authority, they said to him, "Please." There's a herd of swine over there. But first Jesus asked him, "Tell me your name." That's the first thing you ask him. "Tell me your name." Have you noticed in the text that Jesus is not even talking to the man? The conversation between the demons and Jesus. The man not saying anything. The man is just there. This conversation going on between Jesus and the demons has gotten me. And so the man is so glad somebody finally came along that can control these demons. Amen. My wife couldn't control him. I know I'm getting beside myself now. And it's not a demon that's in me either. But listen to me. Jesus has all authority. And let me say this to you. The reason you ought to give your life to him is because you need somebody who has power and authority over the demonic world. Jesus in your life can make you whole just like he made that man whole. Demons and God don't dwell in the same house. If God comes in,
then the demons have to go out. The point that I want you to see, and I'm closing, Ephesians 1:18. Look at this. Then we're in the New Testament age now. Jesus has gone back to heaven. He's declared all power in heaven and earth is mine. And now those of us who are in the church need to understand where this power is now and how it is generated through Christ and his church. Watch this. The eyes of your understanding, are you at verse 18? The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart. In other words, he believes that your heart ought to have eyes. Your mind is what he's talking about. Your mind needs to be enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? If the Lord comes through, if the Lord calls you, and he's called all of us, you need to know the hope of that calling. There's no situation where if a man is called by God, that he doesn't understand there's hope. And hope comes with expectation. Hope comes with a promise. God has made a promise to every child of God who has been called. There's power in Christ. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's no hope in this world. There's no hope in our government. There's no hope in our city council. There's no hope in our judges. There's no hope. The only hope you really have is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, because he's got all power. All power. The hope. Watch him now. The hope of his calling. Watch this. What the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. Now, this is what really got me. And that is that though I have become victimized, though I was victimized by the devil and by sin, the mere fact that God has called me, that God by his grace and his love has redeemed me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there is no sin, there is no devil that can keep me from the inheritance that God has for the children of God. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, how can I believe that? If you can believe that those demons got out of that man, went in those swine ended up in the lake, drowned, then you ought to have enough sense to understand I got power to take you out of your sin. Now, you don't believe me? Okay, come on, go to the scripture. I'm moving, I know. I move from scripture to scripture. You say, it's all right? But I left so much in that other one. Okay. Look at verse number 19 of Ephesians 1. And then I'm going to go to the other one. What is the exceeding greatness of his what? Power to who? To who? Who what? If you what? If you're what? Believer. Then there's power given to you according to the working of his mighty power. Now watch this. Go to Ephesians 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Are you with me? And the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But here's the beauty of it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Somebody ought to ask me, Brother Gibbs, when did he love me? Bible says, while we were yet sinners, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were without strength, while we were out there in the tomb, somebody ought to ask me, what made Jesus go across the lake?
What made him go across in the storm? He knew there was a man who had a demon and had a legion of them in him. And Jesus said, I'm going to show you my power. Thank God the mercy of God was on this man. The grace of God was on this man. Oh, I'm trying to show you. My time is gone. But that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And then the Bible says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and with powers and against rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the word of God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Isn't that beautiful? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Almighty God. Devil can't stand the word of God. The devil can't take the word of God. If you want to defeat the devil, give him the word of Almighty God. Tell him what God has said, and you'll defeat him every time. Well. All right. I'm coming down now. I'm full of the Spirit. I ain't full of the devil right now. Now, don't think that because I'm slobbering all over everything. Amen. Amen. No, I'm not. Now, this is what I want you to see. Jesus says this. Watch the invitation. Jesus says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, when Jesus came into the world, he did not come just to heal men temporarily. He came to take care of that which is inherently wrong with man. That is sin. Jesus came to take care of the sin problem. So he took sin upon himself. All of our sin he took on him. Went to Calvary. Died. Not for himself, but he died for all of our sins. The power of Jesus is in his ability to take the sins of all men, go to Calvary's cross, die one death, and then take care of the sin problem that all of us have. We're freed from our sin. Listen to me. We're freed from our sin by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 tells us that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, is that he has died for your sins, and he has taken the penalty for your sin on himself. As ugly as sin is, his death was just that ugly on the cross. It was a satisfaction to God now for all of us to be freed from our sin. If you're not careful and you be like those Gadareans, when they came back and saw this man healed in his right mind, clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, and their pigs dead, they made a choice. They said to Jesus, you leave our coast because you are affecting our economy. They should have been more concerned about a man who once was demonic and having been healed. But they made the choice to expel Jesus from their coast instead of letting him stay there and work with all that he had. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I've worked through the sin problem. Hear me well. That's what you got to believe. You got to believe in Jesus. The devil's believed in him. Why don't you believe in him?
Amen.
Now watch this. Then Jesus says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is on your part. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to make up in your mind that I'm going to stop letting the devil take control. Stop letting myself take control. And I'm going to let the Lord Jesus Christ become the master of my life. Let his word guide me. You got to make that decision that I'm going to walk in the light and not in the darkness. You make that decision. Jesus said, except you repent, you're going to perish. Now, you think that man was something. You are going to perish if you keep walking in sin. Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. So you got to repent. You got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You got to be able to confess him. Listen, you're going to have to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, 9 and 10, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in that heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You have to make that confession. You have to be willing to tell people, I believe that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. And then after that, you're going to have to be baptized. Baptism is for the remission of sin. It's for the cancellation of sin. What happens when you go down in the water doesn't wash your sins away. God remits you. God cancels out your sin. But he will not do it unless you go down in the water.
Amen.
Now, some people want to take water baptism out of the plan. I wouldn't take anything out that God has put in.
Amen.
I'd leave what God put in. And I heard Jesus say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. But here's the joy of it. Here's the joy of it. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And then this is what he said, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's where you need to see that the Holy Spirit in you, then that protects you from the demons in the world. Am I looking all right?
You're all right. You're great. You're great.
Here's what the demons going to do. They're going to approach you. They're going to say, you think we can work with her? And then they're going to look and say, oh, she got the Holy Spirit in her. Because see, demons know God. And so if God is living in you, they're going to take another look. They're going to say, I don't think we ought to go in there. I think we better leave her alone. Yeah, cause. No. Okay. But then if she's the type who has the Holy Spirit, but she's not walking by the Spirit, and she's not letting the Spirit guide and lead her, then the devil say, he's in there, but I think we can get him out. Amen. And so they come on in. Amen. And I'm looking at you, but I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about everybody else. You know I am, don't you?
Huh? Amen.
You know, if the Holy Spirit lives in my house, how the demons gonna come in my house?
Amen.
They're gonna bypass my house because we're gonna give them the word.
Amen.
Sister Gibbs and I get into it. And we living by the Holy Spirit. I don't let the sun go down on my wrath. Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I say, honey, forgive me. Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I was wrong. Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Devil say, we can't do nothing with that house. We better move on to the next house. Amen, amen. They're going to be loving each other before the sun go down. That's right. Amen.
Amen. That's the truth.
Amen.
Very true.
But then let him come to your house and you over there in another room and I ain't talking to him. I ain't going to let him. He going to have to pay for that. And that ain't the Holy Spirit, brother. He coming in. Amen. Amen. Good preaching, Brother Gibbs. Good preaching, Brother Gibbs. Good preaching, Brother Gibbs. I'm telling you. You and I better be careful. I'm asking you. If you're not a child of God, become a child of God. Obey him and let his Spirit come into your life. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that that's how God recognizes you from everybody? There's a crowd of people, but the ones that he claims as his are those who have the Holy Spirit. When he looks at you, he wants to see, is my spirit in you? That's how he knows you're his. Well, if you're not a child of God, you need to become one. You can't handle these demons by yourself.
Amen.
You've heard the gospel. Will you come? Will you come right now while together we stand and sing? Will you come?
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood, and there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.